Okay, so let's start from today's finding. From this morning, there is very little I can say because of the red flag. In the afternoon, we had more running. Tires are working well. Yeah, probably we are a bit conservative in the compound choices, but consider that we didn't have much information on the track roughness before coming here. So it was a bit of unknown. We had obviously the simulations on the layout and layout severity from the teams, but not, as I said, much information on track roughness. So we decided for C1, C2, C3, that is the hardest choice in our range. They were working well. Honestly, nobody was complaining about warm-up. Clearly, the level of grip of the C1 of the hard compound is lower than the other two. And we are talking about the delta lap time that is estimated in 0607. Estimated because looking at the running this afternoon, we don't have representative comparison between the hard and the medium. Most of the teams use the hard and soft or medium and soft. So we can try to find an estimation from the hard-soft comparison, but I believe that it is probably better to rely on our simulation for the comparison hard to medium. While medium to soft, we were estimating 0.4, 0.5, and at the moment it's a bit higher. We are talking about 0.7. We need to understand how much track evolution we had today. I suspect and I believe that track evolution will continue during the rest of the weekend. We didn't see graining even on the soft compound. We didn't see blistering. Obviously, we are now cutting some tires, checking the construction as usual, making some analysis and checking telemetry data that are coming from the teams in order to check the prescriptions and review the prescriptions if necessary. I don't think so because usually teams are very good with their simulations, but it is a new circuit. So it happens that sometime on new circuits, the simulations are a bit less accurate compared to a normal circuit where they have a lot of historical data. As I said, no graining, no blister, just some cuts coming from probably the gravel that they use in the runoff areas. We had a lot of cuts also with Formula 3, but Formula 3, most of the, not most of the cars, but some cars were running off track and bringing a lot of gravel on the circuit. So we can see that the stones that are used in the runoff areas are quite sharp and cutting the tread. But let's see what happens in the rest of the weekend. What else? It's the first time, obviously, that we are running on a track with banking. The stress on the tires that we have evaluated is clearly considering the banking because the simulations coming from the teams are taking into account the banking. We have turn 3 and turn 14, but a lot of corners are banked, so it's not just these two. Turn 3 is very short, so the banking is just for a couple of seconds or a bit more. Turn 14 is putting more stress on the tires. If you look at the vertical load on the four tires, the biggest increase is on the front right and rear right, because they are the unloaded tires. So if you compare the estimated vertical load with a flat track or a track with banking, like turn 14 here, you can see that there is an increase also on the left-hand side, clearly, but the two tires on the left-hand side are already loaded, while the two tires on the right-hand side are usually unloaded, but because of the banking, they have an additional 20% of vertical load that is pushing the tires on the ground. And that is what we see from simulations. I talk about the warm up, the lap time. Degradation is still early. We need to check the data. I believe that these are the most important elements from today running. Questions? Adam.
Hi, you said you were too conservative. If you were coming back next week, would you bring the C4 or what would you do?
I would like to wait for tomorrow because we had some other races where, for example, in Portimao, we said, maybe we are a bit too hard. Nobody's going to use the C1. And then during the race, the C1 was the most used compound. So we have good weather. We have track temperature that is roughly, today was 30 degrees or in the range of 30 degrees. So if it continues like that, and we have also track evolution and teams and drivers becoming quicker and quicker. They are learning the track. They are setting, making the right setup on the car. I cannot exclude that also the C1, the hard compound, is a good tire for the race. Let's wait for tomorrow. It was just, let's say, a general comment and estimation, but it is better to collect data from all the weekend.
Just a quick follow-up. Any idea on stint length in terms of Sunday?
We made simulations, as I said, based on the data we had. We believe that between a 1 and 2 pit stop, we can have strategies that are very close in terms of total race time. But we were assuming quite a high degradation on the C3 compound, the soft compound. So if tomorrow we have better data to understand the degradation of the soft, we can be more precise. But if the soft is not degrading a lot, I believe that one stop become the favorite strategy, of course, also because pit lane loss was estimated to be around 22-23 seconds. If I'm not wrong, it was decided to reduce the speed in the pit lane down to 60 kilometers per hour. So we have to make, sorry for the noise, but we have to make another estimation of the pit lane loss. But with a high pit lane loss and the track is narrow in some part, and so making overtaking difficult, clearly the teams want to manage the tires in order to achieve a one-stop strategy. Then it depends on which compound, but as I said, it is important to have a bit more data to make a prediction. Any other question? Yes, Darshan?
Yeah, did the sand play any role on track? Like, there was some sand, not a lot of sand on the track. But did it play any role? Did it affect the tire performance?
I believe that when we talk about track evolution is mostly due to sand and the rubber that we're putting on track. So, yes, at the beginning, this morning, we saw a lot of sand. We have quite a few support events. So there is running on track with Formula 3, W Series, and Porsches. Clearly, the sand has one effect and the gravel has another effect, but the sand usually is lowering the grip. So that's why the sand is playing a role. There is no wind, so hopefully the track is going to clean during the weekend. Adam, is your hand up from before, or it's okay? Okay.
Yeah, I
please.
Yeah, please. Just a general one. If have you ever thought about having a universal wet compound for the race weekends, or do you think that you need a wet and intermediate compound to run in race weekends? Do you think a universal compound can work in extreme conditions and also lighter conditions, or you need two tires for that?
Universal for wet conditions. Sorry, because it's noisy. I couldn't get it. No, I believe that at the moment for Formula One we have a wet tire that is designed for full wet condition, and the intermediate tire that is obviously more for drying condition. They are working well. There is a crossover. There is an area where the two different tires can work as well. It's important to keep this overlay between the two tires, but moving to a single wet tire, I'm not sure that is the right choice. Now, the question clearly is about what happened in Spa and the reason of not running because of the visibility. On tire side, I believe that there is very little we can do to avoid the spray in the air. We can design a different tire able to disperse less water, but then the problem becomes safety because clearly it's a tire that is not able to manage aquaplaning as the current tire is doing. So there are probably other solutions considering different tarmac, considering an inclination of the track to remove standing water, or other solutions to add to the car. But on tire side, if we want to disperse this amount of water, it's impossible to not to have a spray in the air. And if you have spray in the air, the visibility becomes worse and worse. Dieter, sorry, Adam, then I come to you later. Dieter?
Thanks, Mario. Talking about that, when last did you actually change the tread pattern on the full width and the intermediates for that matter?
We changed it, I believe last time was around 2015. We made some changes to make the tire better. I'm talking about the full width, better in aquaplaning. You remember we had some discussions to give the tire more resistance to aquaplaning. We didn't want it to move too much the tire towards the monsoon tire to avoid. But then we have a tire that is very good in very wet condition, but then we don't have this crossover with the intermediate tire. Now we are also designing a new tread pattern for the 18 inches tire. We tested different solution. I believe that the tread pattern for next year will be very similar to the current one, because as I said, we want to keep this this crossover, and we don't want to take the risk that we move too much on one side or the other. The tread pattern is working well, so there is no reason to change. We are in any case estimating different dimension of the block, different grooves, different design, but the current one is working well. So we have to pay attention to change it too much if we don't have. Also consider, Dieter, that in 1 year of development, we have 6 days of testing that are dedicated to wet tires, and 3 of these 6 days are dedicated to intermediate and 3 to full wet. So we need to be quite quick in developing the wet tire.
And what about how much of a role does the actual rubber formulation make to this? So in the wet, look, obviously on a dry tire, obviously the adhesion, the grip is generated by various things, including the chemical compound. How much does a chemical compound contribute in the wet, given the temperatures and changes and all that sort of stuff?
Formulation of the compound is important because it defines the working range, for example. And you know that the full wet tire has to work also in a condition where the compound is almost cold, because if you follow a safety car or when you don't push, you can have a compound that is at 30 degrees. So we need to design a tire with these characteristics, with a compound that is able to work at a very low temperature, but also when there is some heat going into the tire, because in drying condition, you heat the tire, we need blocks that are resistant to abrasion. We need blocks that are not going to blister easily with the heat. So there are many elements that we have to consider in designing a compound for full wet condition on or the other side for intermediate. The reason why, for example, the intermediate is so different compared to the full wet, we don't have blocks because in drying condition with the blocks like an intermediate tire, you have a lot of movement and the movement is generating heat and maybe blistering, but is also not good for drivers because drivers don't like the movement. They want a tire that is precise. That's the reason why they like, I believe they like the 18 inches tire because it's a lot more precise when they drive, especially the front. And that's why we have a tread pattern for the intermediate tire that is relying a lot more on the chemical properties of the compound rather than the tread pattern itself. So it's not designed to expel high quantity of water. We are talking about 35 liters compared to 85. And the grip is generated by the compound. And obviously also the working range is different compared to the full wet tire. So we have many elements that are contributing to the performance of the wet and intermediate tire. And the most difficult part of the job is also to test in consistent conditions. Because when you have and you need to compare wet tires, intermediate tires, find the crossover and so on, you need to have a consistent condition and a track that is very consistent. We go very often to Port Ricard because Port Ricard has sprinklers and you can keep the consistent condition. Adam?
Yeah, I was going to ask about the spray and the fact that a few drivers mentioned it last weekend that Formula One should do something about it. Has that ever been a discussion between you and the FIA about managing spray? And secondly, Vettel said a couple of times that it was less bad in the Bridgestone days. Is that something that you would dispute, or have you heard that before from drivers?
So about your first question, I believe that is an ongoing discussion that will continue for the future, because obviously nobody wants to see what happened in Spa. We want to see drivers racing unless the conditions are really bad. We have a few examples in the past, I remember in Suzuka that Saturday was canceled for the monsoon, or a few years ago, if I'm not wrong, in Austin. It can happen when you are playing an outdoor sport. It can happen. It happened in many other sports that you have very bad conditions and you are obliged to cancel the event. But if we can do something to improve, for sure we are here to do that. Comparison with another tire, another competitor, another situation that is 11, more than 11, 12 years ago, it's really difficult. We are talking about different cars, different tires, different situation. So I don't know what I can reply to Sebastian. I will ask him, because clearly it's also interesting to understand if he has any specific comments. So better or worse, what does it mean? Is better in aquaplaning, better in grip, better in drivability, better in balance? You can have tires with different characteristics. So I really don't know what to reply to this.
Just one more. Have you been part of any discussion about the 2022 car in terms of the impact the aero might have on spray? Because obviously it's a very different package and it's going to send the water out of the back in a different way.
It's a good point, but we didn't have this discussion yet. I had the question if I believe that with the new tires we have a different level of spray. But I don't think so. Honestly, looking at the tread pattern of the 18 inches tires, there is no reason. And the width is the same. So at the end of the day, the width is contributing the most to the level of spray in the air. So I don't believe that there is any difference compared to the current tires. But the point on downforce and aero package is a good point, and I will discuss it. I mean, at least in terms of expectation, because we are not designing the aero package of a car, we are designing the tire, but it's interesting to know if, for example, FIA or FOM believe that there is an impact because of the different aero package. That's a good point. Dieter.
Thanks, Mario. I think you're moving away from the mic. It was very difficult to hear some of your answers just now to this. So I don't know what it was. But in any event, what I wanted to ask you or mention to you is that it wasn't only Sebastian who said to me about the monsoon tire being better and the Bridgestone being better, but quite a few technical directors said it as well. In fact, three of them that I spoke to all said they'd worked with a monsoon tire and that was far better than any of the current ones. So maybe you'd like to talk to a broader audience than purely the drivers.
You know, we were sorry for the communication that is a bit noisy. We were talking to Adam about these comments from Sebastian. There is very little I can say other than asking Sebastian when he thinks that this product was better than our product. Better, what does it mean? I mean, it means in terms of aquaplaning resistance, it means it was better in terms of balance or grip or what is better. Because clearly in the times of tire war, you had the possibility to design any type of tire. So if you decide to design a monsoon tire, you can do that. And you take the risk that if you have a level of water that is in between the intermediate and the monsoon tire, then maybe you have a condition that you are not able to cover with the range of tires that are available. It's a choice. But I believe that now in a situation where we are a sole supplier, we need to guarantee an intermediate tire that is giving you a crossover with a slick and a crossover with a full wet, and a full wet that is covering this other part with some standing water and the full wet condition. I don't want to move in an area where we take the risk that we don't have a crossover with the intermediate, because in that case it becomes dangerous. Maybe you have a tire that is able to work with a level of water that is quite high. Then I guess if in any case we don't fix the issue on visibility, if there is somebody that is taking responsibility to ask the drivers to run in these full wet conditions, because that's another point. If we design a monsoon tire, that is possible. We have just to take a decision. But if we design a monsoon tire and then nobody is racing because it's too dangerous for visibility, I believe it's useless to design a monsoon tire. So we need to understand which is the right direction to take, and then happy to follow this direction. But first, we need to fix the issue on visibility. That I believe it was the main reason in Spa why it was decided to cancel the race. And second, if we fix the issue, we can move the wet tire on more towards a monsoon tire. But we need to pay attention not to have a gap between the intermediate and wet, and the wet. Okay. Thank you very much to everybody.
Ciao, Mario. Thank you.
Ciao.